I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We want to give you Washington Capitals tickets right now. 800-636-1067 is the number. You'll win two tickets to see the Washington Capitals Tuesday, October 21st versus Seattle. The Capitals will host Donate Life Night in partnership with MedStar Health. For tickets and the complete Capitals schedule, visit thefandc.com/tickets, courtesy of the Washington Capitals. Good luck to you, 800-636-1067. Speaking of those Washington Capitals, let's start the Beltway Blitz, Darius. About Katie Florio, Caps Radio Network. Katie, I think if they were still playing, Charlie Lindgren still wouldn't give up a goal from last night. He was unbelievable.
I mean, that was incredible. That's the save that you're going to see all week long. I've already seen scrolling social media today, people calling it the save of the year, and we are three games in here. But that was one of those things. I've seen him make incredible saves before, but my jaw dropped watching that one. And just what an unbelievable start for him to this season. It's just the seventh Capital in franchise history to record a shutout in his season opener. So really happy for Charlie, and what a great way to start the season.
It is the tiniest of samples. It's hard to draw any conclusions from, you know, the first week, let alone first three games here. But the offense hasn't come out rip-roaring just yet. Again, I'm not making any judgments or sort of, you know, any kind of, referendums on it just yet. But what have you seen? One goal in two of their three games?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely an accurate statement. I know Carb said in his post-game speech last night, you know, sometimes it's you got to find ways to win. And not every night you're going to score six goals. And when that's the case, you got to have good defense and you got to have really good goaltending. And so I certainly don't think there's a need to panic just three games in, because it's not like, you know, high scoring, high powered offense is the Capitals' only tool. I know they're so confident in both Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren, who we've seen good outings from, and obviously their defensive core as well. It's not an excuse, but, you know, a new year, not a ton of new players this year, but still there was lots of questions. You know, was Hendrick Lapierre going to be 3C, moving Connor McMichael to the wing? Well, then we see him back at center last night with Lappy out, Sonny Milano on that top line. So it's still, there's enough new pieces to where you're sort of trying things out and trying to gain that chemistry. And so I think that with time, it's going to come, the goals are going to come, but in the meantime, they're a well-rounded team that when they're not putting up six goals a night, they can find other ways to win. And I think that's what we saw this weekend in New York.
What do we know about Pierre-Luc Dubois leaving the ice last night?
Honestly, nothing. There has been no update since. The team was off today. I know he came back and got evaluated, but that's not something that I think head coach Spencer Carver will share until after morning skate tomorrow. So I am just as much in the dark as everyone else with that. Hopefully, you know, it's something minor, something that he can quickly return from, because that would be a huge, huge piece to lose. But as of right now, you know, definitely not making any assumptions or worrying just yet until we get the word from Carberry and the trainers.
Take it whichever way you'd like to go. Who's impressed you through three games, non-goaltender division?
Non-goaltender?
Yeah, non-goaltender. What skaters impressed you the most?
I mean, I think you got to go with, I think the obvious one there is Alexei Protas coming off that three-point night on Long Island, two goals and the assist. And it's not just the stats and leading the team, but the goal he scored on the breakaway, I think, is a prime example of, for fans that don't follow this team intently and only try to, you know the names from rosters and things like that, at 6'6", 250, you would think, the average person would think, you know, he's a guy just banging bodies around, you know, heavy, big. The way he can skate, his agility, his quickness, his speed, all of that was on showcase in that goal. And I know his brother, Ilya, is the same way, not as heavy. I think he's about 215, 220, but both of them, for their size, the way they skate is so, so impressive. And obviously, he's coming off of that 30-goal career year last year. But I think Ryan Leonard said it best. He's made in a laboratory, you know, for a guy to be that big, have that much skill and that much speed. And so I think the year he had last year is no one-off. If anything, it is only the start of the NHL player that he's going to grow into.
Awesome. Katie, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Sounds very good. Let's put her on hold, please. Why is it not going there? I want to go home. And let's talk about the NFL, please. Our buddy Mark Schofield joins us to do that very thing. Are the Chiefs back, Mark?
Danny, I do think the Chiefs are back because what we saw last night was their offense start to get on track a little bit. Their defense frustrate a very good Detroit Lions offense. And they're getting Rashee Rice back after a 6-game suspension, which is going to give that passing game a bit more of an explosive element, particularly the vertical downfield passing game. And so I think they're back. I think when you take a step back and look around at the greater AFC picture, a lot of teams that might be in the mix that could be good, that could not be good. I think the trend line is going in a very good direction if you're a Chiefs fan.
Mark, were you a Breaking Bad fan?
I was a Breaking Bad fan, yes.
So you remember when Jesse Pinkman loses it, and just because Walt just kind of keeps outmaneuvering everybody, and he just breaks down and he screams he can't keep getting away with this? Like one of the most famous scenes in the show's history. I think he was talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Like, he was absolutely talking about the Steelers because here we go again, right?
Yep.
I'm literally working, Danny, on a piece right now. Like, here we go again with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You might look at their record and say, oh, they haven't really beaten anybody. You might look at some advanced metrics, DVOA, things like that, and say, oh, they're really not that good of a football team. But there they are, 4-1. They've got an inside track to winning that division, given the fact that Joe Burrow's hurt, Lamar Jackson is hurt, and the Cleveland Browns, they're the Cleveland Browns still. So they could be winning that division yet again. And Mike Tomlin, yet again, looks like he's in a position to get a team that had a lot of questions, had a lot of people wondered if they were going to be any good, back to the playoffs and perhaps making another run.
How's Tampa 5-1? I mean, Mayfield's been incredible. He had like you and me at receiver yesterday, Mark.
And you, Danny, I was very proud of you for that backflip after that touchdown. That looked fantastic.
Yeah, but I got a running start and everything, yeah.
I do think it's Baker Mayfield. I mean, he was, like you said, thrown to their number five, number six receiver. They've been banged up, but he's finding ways to win. He's willing that team to win. You look at that scramble on 3rd and 14, where he somehow shakes off two defenders when it looks like he's going to take a sack, picks up the first down. Two plays later, he hits Tez Johnson for that touchdown. Baker's been a big story this year. He's certainly put himself into the MVP mix. And he's a big reason why you might look at the NFC right now after Detroit's loss last night, after where the Eagles have stumbled and how they've looked in recent weeks, and think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might be the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, what do you make of the Eagles? I mean, to me, they live in this world of dramatics where there's always something. Like week five last year, wherever the week was, Nick Sirianni's like yelling at fans after a close win, and then all of a sudden they rally and they're really, really good. There's so much talent there. I still trust them to be fine, but they haven't looked particularly good here.
They haven't looked good. That passing game has been in bits and spurts this season so far. They've had two halves where they've had negative yards passing already this season. And like you said, they seem to live in this era of chaos. That's where they seem most comfortable. The question I have is it going to be like last year where people wondered, are they any good? Are they really any good? And they go on and steamroll their way through the playoffs. Or 2 years ago where they were a 10-1, looked like the best team in football, and absolutely collapsed down the stretch and ended up losing in the wild card round. I think it'll be more like last year where they're going to be a good team. They're going to figure it out. They have this mini bye. But the reason why the Eagles' friend in your life is a little scared right now is they're worried it's more like 23 when this team collapses here over the next couple of weeks.
So Detroit lost last night, obviously, Kansas City looked really good. That was the headline. But I came away actually kind of impressed with Detroit, even in a loss. I mean, they're an Amon-Ra St. Brown drop away from a very different game. And how many times is that going to happen in the next, you know, for the rest of his career? Down to, like, again, nobody in their secondary. They hung pretty well, I thought, with Kansas City last night. I actually came away strangely impressed with them and still think they're going to be A-OK in the NFC North. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think when you look at Detroit's process on the whole, you come away thinking, look, yeah, no, they go into Kansas City, tough place to play. The Chiefs might be back, like we just talked about. You feel pretty confident still about the Lions being in it at the end. You mentioned the draw from Amon-Ra St. Brown. You don't see that very often. And let's not forget that weird, you know, legal motion penalty on Jared Goff, which took a touchdown off the board. Dan Campbell's going to go for it on fourth downs, which is where you want to be in today's NFL. I think, yes, you'd like to win that game if you're Detroit, but you still feel pretty good about where you are as a team, even with that loss.
What's up with Dallas?
I can't make sense of this team because, you know, one week you think, wait, they've got something cooking here. They're putting up points, and then you lose like you did on Sunday. They're just too inconsistent for me right now. They've had some injuries as well. I think they're, I don't want to say rebuilding, but the Parsons trade and the way they've played this year, the ups and downs, you wonder if they're just sort of going through this little bit of a retooling process. They're going to have the multiple first-round picks next year. Maybe next year is when they're really looking to make a run. But that's one of the teams, Denny, I just can't make heads or tails of.
Last one, Brian Callahan removed from his post there as the head coach of Tennessee. I don't know how much talent they had. Maybe they could have won another game or two. But just funny to think, they fire Mike Vrabel, who's got as many wins now in this season with the Patriots as they do since they fired Mike Vrabel. Not great.
Not great at all. That's, I think the timing of it is a big reason why we saw this move today, because Mike Vrabel comes to town this week. You know, the Patriots are coming to town to play Tennessee. You probably don't want to get run out of your old building by the coach you fired. So they probably made this move right now, get Brian Callahan out of there. I don't know what their interim plan is. They haven't named an interim head coach yet, but that's going to be fun to watch.
Mark, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Talk soon, my friend.
You got it. There he goes. That is Mark Schofield. You can hear the Boston accent in there. I'm actually talking NFL with you. Get over it. Whatever. Let's talk about Local 53, please. About Kevin Sheehan, the Kevin Sheehan Show joins us to do that very thing. Kevin, who's really important tonight? Besides the quarterback, who do you think has to play well?
Good question, Daniel. How about Javon Kinlaw? Because they're not a good running team, and if somebody runs against us tonight and their play action is better and they got receivers, I think, you know, they're not a good running team. We've become a better run-stopping team. I think a lot of it's Kinlaw. If he kind of plays the way he's been playing, I think he could be another positive night defensively up front.
I like that one because it's like if you get that, then you get some of those third and longs, which is kind of the whole design to improve that pass defense.
Right.
This group talking about Chicago. Now, again, this is before the bye week, so who knows what new tendencies and self-scouting they've done to kind of cook up something different. But they play a lot out of 12 personnel with those two couple of tight ends that are good, and they could throw out of that group. Do you see more Jordan McGee tonight, or do you stay in nickel almost daring them to run against it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Ben and I talked about that on the show, is that because, you know, last week we saw, you know, three linebackers on the field a lot, including Jordan McGee. It's not like Bobby Wagner came off the field when he came in because the Chargers were in 12 personnel and the Bears are top five in the league in running one back, two tight ends. So you can leave three linebackers on the field in that scenario. So, yeah, I would expect that we'll see more Jordan McGee. I think it's going to be more interesting when you play a team that plays, you know, one back, one right, well, you know, one tight end, three receivers. Will Jordan McGee's playing time go down, like maybe next week against Dallas, or has he shown enough to put him on the field more, maybe for a Bobby Wagner or a Luvu here and there?
In terms of Luvu, last year I'd kind of forgotten about this, Kevin, and Grant reminded me earlier on in the show, but Luvu was a demon in that Monday Night Football game, and that or whatever it was. I guess it was a primetime game that everybody saw late afternoon window. Offensively, they just couldn't punch it in. It was weird, and then all of a sudden they relinquished the lead. But Luvu was all over the field. We haven't quite seen that guy yet. Is tonight the night, maybe?
Yeah, I thought we saw a lot of that last week. You know, the sack totals aren't there, but, you know, I think his presence has been felt. I thought last week he was certainly one of the best players on the field. I thought against Atlanta, he was about the only decent defensive player on the field. Maybe he's really good. I think he's still, regardless of the lack of statistical, you know, proof, I think he's still maybe their best defensive player on the field week in and week out.
Let's go to the offense. You know, again, this is pre-bye week. Who knows what they've cooked up? That might look different getting a couple guys back, talking about Chicago. But on the ground, it looks like you should be able to maul this team, right? 6.1 yards per carry through four games. And it's not just quarterbacks doing it. Add in that Jaden Daniels element. Now, all of a sudden, maybe you've got something else here. But do you expect that tonight, or do you expect the Bears to put up a stiffer test?
I mean, you just mentioned it. What do they fix during this bye week? You know, do they come back and do they load the box and say, we've been terrible against the run? Remember, they have played Dallas and Detroit in their first four, two really good offensive teams. But do they come out and play it differently? They're getting healthier tonight. They're getting a couple of starters back. But that's the thing that just sticks out. It's like number one rush offense against the team that gives up the most yards per carry in the league. Like, you got to try to run the football. And if they load the box, I think Kingsbury will have a lot of answers. But I am interested. It's a really interesting thing that you talked about, because we may see a completely different approach since they've had, you know, 2 weeks since their last game to try to fix things.
It's the engine that drives this offense right now, obviously not in Daniel's division, has been Deebo Samuel. You know, he had 9 targets for every one that somebody else had last week. How long do you expect that to continue?
For a while, as long as he's healthy. I'll ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If put Jaden aside, who would they miss on offense more than any player?
It's him.
If you were out,
Kevin, it's him. And I think it's not close, because I know you've talked about this a bunch, and I won't let you weigh in. To me, my eyes were really open to this with DeSean Jackson. I know they're totally different players, but hear me out. It was the threat of DeSean Jackson that allowed, to me, Jordan Reed, Pierre Garçon, whoever you wanted, to kind of operate in that intermediate spot, because every defensive back was terrified of being on SportsCenter. Right? The threat of him was almost as important as him, and you could see the way the defense reacts to Deebo Samuel going in motion. Everybody's turning their head frantically and pointing and we got to account. Moving him around the way that they can and do, using him as the toy or the weapon that Kingsbury does, I think that's almost as important as him with the ball in his hands, because that's the guy that scares the defenses.
Yeah, in a different way from DeSean, right?
DeSean was
a deep threat that made you play deeper and respect deeper. But yeah, Deebo can do so many different things, and you're not really sure how he's going to do it to you on any given play, because there's so much misdirection. You know, there's so much sort of trickery in the way they use a lot of guys. I mean, and I think that's part of Kingsbury's, you know, I don't want to use the word genius, but part of why he's really good at what he does. And Deebo was the weapon he was looking for that he didn't have last year, that I think in many ways he was hoping Eckler would be, you know, in a different way. But Eckler, if you think back to last year, their most difficult nights for the opponent to defend were the nights when Eckler was there.
Yep, exactly right. And you could see in those big games against Philadelphia on Thursday Night Football, yeah. Eckler left, Eckler right. Now we're past midfield.
I agree.
I didn't get a chance to hear it on my way in today. Give me your prediction for this one.
I think Washington wins. I would not be surprised if it's closer than people think, but I'd be surprised against Chicago defensively if they don't put up at least 28. So I like, you know, something like 29-24, something like that.
Kevin, appreciate you as always, dude. Talk soon.
All right, Danny.
There he goes. That is Kevin Sheehan. And that, people, that's how you beltway blitz. That's three teams. Well, not really three teams, because the NFL was like a bunch of teams. So we really did like 20 teams, if you think about it. Just now, that's how you beltway blitz. Spin you around, let you know what is what. A whole bunch of things coming up later on in the program. Jay Gruden joins us at 5. Michael Phillips will join us at 6 to break down this one. But next, you're going to ask Kevin. I want to ask you guys about tonight. Haven't had a chance to talk too much on the phones. So let's change that. 800-636-1067 is the number. Who's got to be great? Who's got to be great for this team to win this game tonight? Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Thank you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
It's the same, relatively the same players on defense from last year. Those guys were flying around to the ball, you know, tackling, making good plays on the football. So, you know, we got our hands full in that aspect. But also they got playmakers all on the field. So, you know, we're going to have to convert on third down. I know they're a very good third down defense. They get after the quarterback, so they create turnovers also. So you got to be and play clean football, but it should be fun.
Whose voice is that, Terris? What player is that? Who said that?
That'll be one Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels. Yes. And he plays for Washington?
He plays for the Washington football team.
Oh, so it's my favorite team, and he plays for them?
That'd be correct.
Huh. 800-636-1067 is the telephone number. Welcome back, G&D. No GP rest of the way. He's in Milwaukee getting ready for the NLCS. I'm Fanny Mouye, hanging out with you guys until 6:30. Little pregame action. It's a very busy night. Keep up with Toby's journey. He's going to drive to Reston on purpose and then come back because he forgot his jersey today. Again, this is something that is actually happening. We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morab, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So the question, you heard me ask Kevin Sheehan. I'm going to ask you folks. At 800-636-1067. Thinking about tonight's matchup. Washington, latest I've seen, 5.5-point favorites at home in primetime. They're 9-2 in their last 11 home games. Some of that's opponent-related. They haven't played the best teams at home. Chicago's one of those teams. They've beaten them over their last 11. But they have been much better this year at home until this most recent week in L.A., where they were pretty damn good on the road after a rough start. Who's got to be great tonight for them to win? Some of it's easy. Jaden Daniels. Yeah, pretty much, right? There's a lot that falls on that young man's shoulders. He's excellent. He's awesome. He is the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak. I think that's an easy one. Beyond Jaden Daniels, and you could say that and kind of give a little extra tidbit if you'd like, but who's got to be great tonight for them to win this football game? 800-636-1067. We'll start by people who are driving the furthest before driving back tonight and then kind of go around the room. So that would be Toby up first. Toby, who's got to be great tonight for this team to win?
I'm going to take a little bit of a cop-out here, but the corners need to play
better. I don't
think
it's a cop-out at all, Toby. I think that's essential. That's going to be a theme because it's not a strong suit.
Yeah, and maybe it's just a simple answer, and maybe it's not a specific guy, because if Lattimore steps up and he's able to slow down DJ Moore, then if Trey Amos isn't playing well against Roma Dunze, then it doesn't matter. But the corners as a group have to step up. I saw, just looking around, that Caleb Williams doesn't do great against zone coverage, and Washington has been playing more zone this year. It doesn't really matter if he struggles against zone if they can't play zone correctly and dudes are open all night. So the corners have to play better, because I think if they can slow down that passing game and at least play disciplined, I think they got a good chance of winning tonight.
So I just, maybe I'm too low. Maybe I've overreacted on this front. I just don't think they have that club in the bag, to borrow from the golf analogy. I just don't think that's something that, oh, we'll just go do that. We'll fix it. I don't think there's a fix here. I think the fix is they play weak offensive lines and feast and have a bunch of sacks and pressures and hits and maybe get a turnover or two on an errant throw or something that's rushed. I don't think they can cover. I'd love to be wrong and have a game where you don't actually have to get to the quarterback 15, 16 times in terms of QB hits, sacks, and hurries and all those sorts of deals. I'd love to have that and still have a defense that is competent and functional. But I don't know, man. Maybe I'm too low on that group. But to me, it's just everybody's so open. And it just feels like that's not going to change this evening against a good receiving group with a really smart offensive mind that's had an extra week to prepare. But yeah, I could certainly use that one, Tobes. I think that's a good one. Rhino, for thee, who's got to be great tonight?
I think it's got to be Marshawn Lattimore and really whoever's covering DJ Moore.
You can see the theme here, boys.
Yeah.
Right? We're all feeding out of the same
trough. Yeah, I know. I hate to be, again, not basic. But again, just two games ago when DJ Moore played against this Commanders team a few years ago, he had 230 yards with multiple touchdowns. This is someone who has come in back to his hometown area. He went to Maryland here. He has killed this team time and time again. So we talk about Roma Dunze. We talk about Caleb Williams. We talk about all their other weapons on offense. But do not forget about DJ Moore. I'm concerned with what he can do going over the middle. The Commanders have been pretty vulnerable in that aspect. They go deep to him. They've been vulnerable in that area as well. Do not be surprised if DJ Moore has a big game. Whoever is going up against him tonight, please lock him down.
800-636-1067. Therese, who's got to be great tonight?
I think it's got to be one of the corners. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to pick it.
What if you were like, Trey Amos?
No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to go with Josh Connerly. I think that the Bears come in, this Bears defense comes in motivated. And I think Montez Sweat, of all people, is going to be just as motivated, more motivated than anybody else. I think Josh Connerly has to be the anchor, because we know what Larry Mutombo is going to provide. We know Larry Mutombo is going to keep his side shut down. For the most part, the rest of the interior of the offensive line has played pretty good. Bears' interior defensive line has not been that good this season. Josh Connerly has to keep Montez Sweat off of Jaden Daniels, so that way this offense can move and be successful tonight.
I smell what you're cooking there. So I'm going to feed out of a similar trough to Toby and Rhino. I don't trust the corners. I don't trust the secondary, whether it's Quan Martin or Jeremy Reeves and company. I think they have their uses in terms of coming downhill and kind of peeking into the backfield, sneaking into the box, making some downhill tackles. I don't think the coverage is there. To me, the way that you win, turnovers come from pressure. Fumbles happen. You get a fumble, you get a peanut Tillman punch or something. Great. But turnovers happen to me because the quarterback is rushed, is confused, is happy-footed, doesn't feel comfortable, etc. That's my bookends. Von Miller, Dorrance Armstrong. To me, if you get home, if you bother Caleb Williams, if you have him eyeballing pressure instead of receivers, if you have him not trusting his eyes based on stunts and games and trying to ruin things for this undrafted free agent tackle that they're going to start at left tackle tonight, I'm sure they'll give him help. Ben Johnson's no idiot. But to me, this is another one of these games where the defense, in order for them to have a chance, it's got to be pressure and it's got to be constant from those defensive ends. I mean, up the middle too, you get a little, forklift style from Kinlaw, maybe here and there, maybe Deron Payne penetrates and bothers, maybe another Johnny Newton play or two, a tip pass for interception last week. But I want pressure on Caleb Williams because I think that's the only way they stop passing games right now. Maybe the bye week you can self-scout and figure some new stuff out or coach them up or who knows. But I don't see them able to cover Adunze, DJ Moore, the guys that we've been talking about. Who do you have? 800-636-1067. Let's go to Shane in Virginia. Shane, who's got to be great tonight for Washington to win?
Hey, for Washington to win, hey, Commander Dan, it's got to be Joe Witt. It's got to be Joe. He's got to outcoach. I'm not even going to say his name. I'm not. He's not even getting no airtime for me. Not on this, though, Lieutenant Grant. So, hey, look, here's the thing. It's got to be Joe Witt. He's got to put us in the right position to just outcoach him. He's got to. We know what our secondary is, right? So now you got to scheme for that, and you got to just bring the dogs, man. But that's my go-to.
Appreciate you, Shane. I'm down with that. I'm down with that extra blitz. I'm down with living and dying with aggression. Because my point is, and this I used to have these arguments all the time about rebuilding teams or playing the young kid over the veteran. My point is, what's the worst going to happen? You're going to give up a lot of yards through the air? Check. What's the worst going to happen? You're going to get burned? Check. You're already doing that. At least do it on your terms. That was my point all those years where they were losing, but Mike Shanahan would play Roydell Williams or somebody else that's like in his 30s, and a guy that he drafted in the third round would be sitting on the bench. And I'm going, play the kid. You're already losing. You got losing covered. Find a way to see if there's anything else here. Similar logic for this. I think you're going to be burned in the passing game. If the quarterback throws the football, there's a great chance one of their receivers is on the other end of it, and that guy's going to run for days. That's already happening with you backing off. Let's get after somebody. Let's you know, zone fire dog this, and let's try to confuse and bother this offensive line that's a little bit makeshift, especially at left tackle, a second-year quarterback, first year in this offense. Again, Ben Johnson's really, really good at offense. I don't think he's a great head coach. I think he's not really a leader. I don't think that's how you're supposed to behave when you want to lead an organization. I think he's a little bit of a twerp, but whatever. That guy's smart at making offense happen. So he knows. He knows where they're vulnerable. But I think at a certain point, I just want Bobby Wagner going downhill, not in coverage. I want Frankie Louvu downhill, not in coverage. I want to bother, harass, and harangue and confuse because I'm already going to be giving up stuff. So we'll see if they go that way. I think they know how vulnerable they are, how bad they are in the passing game, and I think they're just going to play soft, play shells, try to keep everybody in front of them, and hope that, you know, they can rally to the football, come downhill and make some tackles. We're going to be frustrated, I think, for a while. Those third and nines are going to be first downs all the time, and it's going to be infuriating to watch in moments because you did your job on first and second down. It's, you know what it's like? It's like going to a restaurant where you know they got a great dessert, and you have a pretty good meal, and then you get to the point where, okay, it's time for dessert. I've been waiting on this brownie sundae. I've been waiting on this cookie skillet with ice cream on it. And then you go, you know, instead of that, I'm going to have some broccoli. And they get a first down, you got to do it all over again. 800-636-1067. Who's got to be great tonight for them to win the football game? You've heard from us. I want to hear from you guys. Remember, Jay Gruden joins the radio program at 5. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Jay Gruden at 5, Danny Ruye with you right now, and you guys shortly thereafter. 800-636-1067, that's the telephone number. Call me. Talk to Tobes, talk to me. Who's got to be great tonight? Who's got to be great tonight for Washington to win this game to go to 4-2 and equal their NFC record at 2-2? Who's got to be great? We've gone around the room. There's a common theme. Two members of the secondary were listed by Toby and Ryan. I went with the defensive line presence to harass Caleb Williams and company because I don't think the secondary can be great. We're talking about the weak link here, basically, right? 800-636-1067. Who's got to be great? Let's go to Phil in Cleveland. Phil, who's got to be great tonight, buddy?
Hey, Danny.
What's up, man?
For me, I think it's going to be the other side of the coordinator. It's got to be Cliff. He's got to, for me, he has to stick with the run game type of scheme and just lean away from his typical air raid type of offense. Not for Jaden, but also, you know, Bill is technically who's carrying the offense, and they just got to feed the ball more to him. And I think that's pretty much.
No, I smell what you're cooking there, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. 800-636-1067. So I think about this, and human nature is a thing, right? I know that. You hope that people are always able to put their egos aside. I think this happens all the time in sports where sometimes you want to prove something. And here's where I'm getting at. Where's all the hype? Where was all the hype this offseason? Where was all the hype in terms of the next great offensive mind and genius? Years ago, it was Sean McVay, right? This offseason, who was it? You know the name. Darius has an alert that I'm hoping I never get to hear again. But they're going over 350. We need to stop pretending like they're not. And we're going to hear it so much. But Ben Johnson is the latest of the greatest. He's the first guy ever to run like a double reverse or this trick play or have Jamison Williams throw an interception to Quan Martin in the postseason last year. No, he threw that to Mikey Hammerstone. I apologize. I get my interceptions confused. Because it was Jared Goff who threw the terrible pick to Quan Martin. Because there were so many turnovers in that game, Darius, I got them all confused. Because it was hard to remember who turned the ball over which time, but there were so many. In that game, there were just so many from his coordinated game. But anyway, the point of the dude's story is, he's the latest and the greatest. He's the guy that everybody's talking about. Well, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're like, what am I over here? What am I, chopped liver? I've been making some pretty good offense for a while. I had half a season a couple times with Kyler Murray and James Conner, who runs like he's carrying a piano. I put up some pretty good numbers. Last year, I kind of set the league on fire. Remember me? Remember Cliff Kingsbury? Just over here. I had Terry McLaurin and a band of Misfit Toys. I had Alameda Zacchaeus as my number two. And it's a pretty good offense. There's a temptation to want to show you. Maybe I'm the genius. There's a temptation to ego this thing. I'm hoping that doesn't enter into it, but I also understand human beings are human beings. So to the caller's point, it's where I'm going with this. I hope he kind of goes, you know what the best thing for us to do this week is? At least on paper. I mean, maybe it's not working, you abandon it. But on paper, coming into this matchup, Chicago is atrocious. Atrocious at the run, at defending the run. That's not hyperbolic. They are atrocious at defending the run. 6.1 a pop, and that's without a quarterback having run all over the butts either. Like Jaden Daniels can, I think will. Make them hit it. Make them stop you. Then you got to mix up your looks, obviously, but do not get away from that unless things go crazy. Things go sideways. Now, last year, there were moments, and I think of that New Orleans game, I referenced it earlier on in the show, where they are not running the ball worth a bleep. They couldn't run it, and they were so sure they could, they stuck with it. And all the stick-with-the-run people had to watch that lead evaporate. They were a Juwan Johnson two-point conversion drop in the end zone away from going home with a big fat L in that game. So I don't think he just abandons things for his own health. But on paper, this should not be a high-flying situation. This should not be a track meet type deal where, you know, plays only or drives only last in 3.5-4 minutes. This needs to be take the air out of the football a little bit. You can use your tempo, use your hurry up, but still use your play clock. Ground and pound tonight until they make you get out of it. And if so, we could talk about something else. But I think that means a little keeper here and there. Please, no quarterback power for Jaden Daniels. None of that crap. Eliminate that immediately. But let's do some read option. Let's do some RPO here and there. Let's do some of that great run action that has the league kind of a buzz if you're Cliff Kingsbury. 800-636-1067 is the number. who's got to be great tonight. A couple other names I've been thinking about. Bobby Wagner's been maligned here a little bit. This is kind of the new in vogue thing among the fan bases. They want Wagner to sit in certain packages and have Jordan McGee play that signal calling middle linebacker. I'm not there. Because to me, this is more of a Joe Witt issue than it is a Bobby Wagner issue. We'll go full departed here. I know what you are. I know what you're not. I know exactly what Bobby Wagner is. He's a downhill tackling machine who is not here to run side to side anymore. There's still a great use for that, in my view. He still has a skill set that is valuable. Bobby Wagner lining up about 5.5-6 yards off the ball and going forward, shooting his gun, as they say, is still very effective and very good. He needs to be doing that. That means it's on others to have other responsibilities. It's a mismatch for nearly any middle linebacker in this league to be out wide on Bijan Robinson and have to run through a bunch of traffic to get there. That's A, good design. B, terrible to have that be the call. Nope. Get rid of that one. While we're burning stuff, let's burn a couple things. Let's burn quarterback power to the middle of the football field. Then let's go ahead and burn that defensive call where Bobby Wagner's got to run with a guy that runs a 4.25 or whatever the hell Bijan Robinson does. Or if it's Bijan or Bijan, I don't know, but he's fast and Bobby's not. Different scheme, please. The difference for me and why, somebody asked me this the other day, why are you more lenient on Bobby Wagner than you are on Marshawn Lattimore? One, Bobby Wagner shows up to stuff, comes to OTAs and does everything he possibly can to be good. But two, there's still something valuable in terms of the skill set there to me. There's still things that Bobby Wagner does well. I don't know what Marshawn Lattimore does well at this point. He was a great press man corner. He was a Pro Bowler, an all-pro type caliber player. He was unbelievable 5 years ago before multiple injuries, hamstring tears. I just don't know if he's got the fastball anymore for that. That's not a crime, but treating him like he's the guy from 5 years ago, I think, is a mistake. And I think they did that early on, the same way they've made mistakes. This is normal. You make mistakes constantly. The same way they thought Emmanuel Forbes could do it. They realized their mistake and moved on. The same way they thought Jahan Dotson would figure it out. They acknowledged that he couldn't, acknowledged their mistake, moved on, etc. It might be, not move on, that doesn't benefit you now to cut him, but stop treating him like he's 5 years ago Marshawn Lattimore. 800-636-1067 is the number. Other players that have to be great for me. I think this goes without saying, but Deebo Samuel has got to be awesome version of Deebo Samuel. I'm hoping that that heel is just a kind of a pro forma designation. Doesn't matter. He's in the night doing Deebo Samuel stuff. I think he needs double-digit touches, even if it's little stuff where you just invent it. The analogy I always use for that is if you go back to Florida State when Peter Warrick was there, it would look like they would just draw up plays during, you know, in between series where they just invented something and they'd move Peter Warrick one way and just kind of flip him the ball and then he would make 11 guys miss and go get 50 yards. Even if you got to do that, that guy needs the football a bunch. When it's not going to him, the other team needs to think it's going to him in a lot of cases, and especially in the pass game. But give me a set where it's JCM and Deebo Samuel in the backfield. Give me a set where it's Jeremy McNichols and Deebo Samuel goes in motion and he gets the football. Give me that stuff. You need to show a commitment to Deebo Samuel, and also B, they need to see that commitment to Deebo Samuel, because maybe then you unlock a Luke McCaffrey shot that nobody sees coming. Maybe then it's a, you know, Zach Ertz or a John Bates or somebody kind of behind the formation, one of those tight end leak out plays or something to that effect. But they need, Deebo Samuel needs the football in his hands. He is the engine right now for this offense. Mike in Fairfax, who's got to be great tonight for them to get a win?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, brother.
Great show as always, dude.
Thank you.
But I'm going to have to agree with you regarding the situation. I believe you said it was Witt, and here's why. If you notice, the defense has not been consistent at all. The schemes are not even correct. They're not even in the right positions. Lattimore is getting burned. And here's a huge issue. I mean, this is what I was taught when I was in peewee football years ago in the 70s, dude. I'm an old guy. Wrap up when you tackle the player. It's not rocket science. That's a problem. Fire these guys up. Get in their faces, get them going, but you have to have them in the right scheme. Otherwise, look, and they're also questioning themselves right before play. They're looking at each other going, Am I in the right spot? What are you going to do? That's an issue. That's all Joe Witt, dude.
It feels like it, man. And I appreciate the phone call. You're breaking up there at the end, Mike. Good call. The hallmark to me of that bad defensive coordinator for so many years, whether it was Joe Barry or Greg Minuski or whomever, was, it's communication breakdown. We're still doing that crap. I just can't hear that and deal with that anymore. Joe and Reston, last word on this. Who's got to be great tonight?
Yeah, I think I was really thinking about it. I think Luke McCaffrey, I think that's a good spot for him. I mean, he's made some really big catches over the last couple weeks. Actually, last few weeks, I think he's caught touchdowns. He's returned well. I think with Terry being out again and Debo kind of being nicked up a little bit, one of these young guys got to step up. I think Luke can make a big impact today.
Appreciate you, Joe. I wonder what that looks like. Because he's not going to be a volume guy. I mean, I don't think that's how the offense works, and I don't really think that's in the cards. But that big third down catch or a touchdown or something that matters an awful lot where, he shows you can depend on him, maybe you get some stuff called for you. But I think he's going to help in the kick return game. I think he'll be involved a little bit tonight. I think you'll see that. Appreciate the phone calls on this. We'll call Jay Gruden on the phone in a few moments. He will join us to give his thoughts on kind of the long weekend, what we saw in the NFL, and talk about this evening's matchup against the Bears. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.